Matthew chapter 7, page 812 if you're using one of the Bibles in the bench in front of you. Matthew chapter 7 is a portion of the Sermon on the Mount, right? It's this famous passage in Scripture. It's a sermon of Jesus where he addresses things like the Beatitudes, which we're familiar with, the Lord's Prayer, which of course most of us know. He says things like, "Do not be anxious for tomorrow." The Sermon on the Mount is this body of teaching that Christ gives the church. And in this body of teaching, which Christ gives the church, filled with important stuff, he says, "Beware of ravenous wolves who come to you in sheep's clothing." Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits." Let's pray. Father, this morning we pray that you would remind us of these sober truths in your word. God, we are people of your book. We trust the things that you say. God, we are a church who wants to be faithful to all the things you call us to be faithful to. Lord, I pray you would give us wisdom and discernment and courage to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Trouble is coming for you, Grace Central. I don't want to alarm you. I don't want to make you paranoid. But as my time here draws to a close, I must warn you because I love you. Thought a long time about when to preach a message like this. I didn't want to do it first upon announcing my departure. That doesn't seem appropriate. And I didn't want to save it for last, to leave it as the last thing that I get to say to you guys from the pulpit. So I thought I'll just stick it right in the middle and then pray that we all remember it. The lyric I keep coming back to in my mind is Bob Dylan, "Let us not talk falsely now, for the hour is getting late." There are just some things we need to talk about before my ministry to you closes. And this is one of the hard truths. Trouble will come for you. Wolves will come sniffing around your door. It's hard for us to believe that this is true. It all sounds so very dramatic, but there the words are, right there on the page, in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 7. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly ravenous wolves." Jesus prepares his followers for these hardships. But since it's hard to remember and it's easy to forget and it's difficult to reckon with, I want to start by impressing upon you the reality that Scripture reminds us of this truth, that trouble will come for the church many times in the New Testament. There's Matthew 7 right in the Sermon on the Mount. In Acts chapter 20, as the Apostle Paul is leaving Ephesus, a church which he planted, he reminds the leaders there to pay careful attention to themselves and to the flock, because fierce wolves will soon come for them, he says. In Romans chapter 16, in the final chapter of the Apostle Paul's theological magnum opus, the book of Romans, right? In the final chapter, before he signs off, he cautions the church at Rome about those who will cause divisions and create obstacles for the church. In 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth and warns them about false apostles who'd been causing problems in the church. In his letter to Galatia in chapter 1, the Apostle Paul warns the church about some amongst them who already were troubling them and distorting the gospel. In chapter 2 of Galatians, he goes on and speaks about false brothers who secretly slipped in to spy on their freedom in Christ. in 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul's writing to his young protege and leaves him in charge of the church that he had planted previously, and he warns Timothy of a time when people would no longer put up with sound biblical teaching, but instead would follow false teachers who tell the people whatever they want to hear. In warning Titus, in the letter to Titus, the Apostle Paul gives a caution about getting tangled up in foolish controversies and stirring up divisions. And then Jude, the brother of Jesus himself, says strong things about troublemakers in the church. Trouble is coming for you, Grace Central, because trouble comes for every church. The good news is that God has prepared us. He's prepared us with His Word. He's issued warnings, and He's prepared us with Scripture. He's given us the gospel. He's given us His truth. And Grace Central, you can know that you have everything you need already from God by His grace through the gospel and through His Word to face whatever threats may come. But how will we recognize them? What are these troublemakers and these ravenous wolves which Scripture says will come for you in time? Well, we could divide up the things Scripture says about them in four categories. First, the troublemakers and wolves that the Bible warns us about are those who work deception in the church. They are characterized by deception, by deceit, by falsehoods, by lies. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, the falsehood comes in the form of a false gospel. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says, page 972. If you want to follow along, you're going to be flipping pages fast, all right? Page 972, if you're using one of the Bibles on the bench in front of you, Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writes this in verse 6, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed." In Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 31, the Apostle Paul warns the leaders at Ephesus about those who will come and teach twisted things, is what he calls it. Page 930, Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul speaking to the leaders of the church, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert." False gospels, twisted teachings, twisting truths of Scripture. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says this, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." One of the ways we know troublemakers and wolves when they come to the church, when they show up, is they come in deception. They come with deceit. They come with falsehood. This is not the same as sheep who are misguided, who need doctrinal correction. This is not the same as a sincere Christian who has a misunderstanding of Scripture. And it's certainly not the same as when somebody comes into our midst, into the church, who loves Jesus and loves His Word and simply has a slightly different interpretation of Scripture than we have, right? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about those that Scripture calls wolves, who twist the truth of Scripture, who preach a gospel other than the gospel of Jesus Christ, and who tell us whatever our passions want to hear, who find where it is that we itch and say, "I'll preach a word that scratches you right there so you feel good all the time." We'll know these wolves by their deception. We'll know them because they create divisions in the church. In Titus chapter 3, page 999 in your Bible, Titus chapter 3, verses 9 through 11, the Apostle Paul says, "But avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. As for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, he is self-condemned." Deception and division. Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, the Apostle Paul says, "I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive." Again, we are not talking about sincere Christians who are wrong on some doctrinal issues and need correction. We are not talking, right, about Christians who come to Grace Central from a different church tradition and say, "I have a different take on baptism," or "I have a different take on predestination," or whatever it may be. We are talking about those who come to sow division and to create obstacles. They come seeking to serve only their own appetites, to fill some hole they have within themselves through feasting on the sheep of Christ, and advance their cause by smooth talk and flattery. They deceive the hearts of the naive. Deception and divisions and disguises. This is what makes it so dangerous. Is the wolves, when they come, do not announce themselves. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, they come in sheep's clothing. In Galatians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul speaks about spies that came in amongst them. "Yet because of false brothers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery, to them we did not yield in submission even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you." The Apostle Paul had spies coming to church, right, seeking how they might distort what was being taught there to bring the people into slavery under a legalistic way of living the Christian life. Paul calls them false brothers. Wolves in sheep clothing, spies that come in. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 12 through 15, the Apostle Paul writes this, page 969. "What I am doing, I will continue to do in order to undermine the claim of those who would like to claim that in their boasted mission, they work on the same terms as we do." What's he saying? He's saying, I'm going to keep on preaching my gospel and doing my work in order to undermine the activity of these guys who claim to be preaching the same gospel and serving the same God, but they are not. And then in verse 13, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness." Did you hear what he said there? He's saying that these people, these wolves, these false brothers who preach a different gospel, who come to bring division to the church, are servants of Satan. Deception, divisions, disguises. These are self-absorbed users and abusers of people. There's only one chapter in Jude. Jude verse 12. Let's page 1027. This is Jude doesn't really pull any punches here in describing this phenomenon in the church. Start in verse 8. Jude verse 8. "Yet in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones." And verse 9 is this fabulously bizarre verse that I would love, but we don't have time for today. I wish we did. Verse 10. But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perished in Korah's rebellion. These are hidden reefs at your love feasts as they feast with you without fear. Shepherds feeding themselves. Self-serving, right? Waterless clouds swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead and uprooted, wild waves of the sea casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. These ravenous wolves, these troublemakers, these divisive false brothers, operate by deception, they cause divisions, they wear disguises, they are self-absorbed users and abusers of people. Look, we have in our culture categories like narcissist and sociopath. And we have manuals, directories of mental health that you can go to and read indications that you're dealing with a narcissist or with a sociopath, and a psychologist or a psychiatrist can make a diagnosis that this person has a personality disorder, that this person is surrendered in some way to selfish dysfunctions that will cause pain and chaos in the lives of people around them. The New Testament world did not have those kinds of categories. So how does the New Testament speak? Ravenous wolves that come to devour and destroy, unreasoning animals that can't be reasoned with, hidden reefs under the surface, there's a different reality than you see on top, and it sinks ships. Waterless clouds, it always looks like the promise of rain, but the rain never falls. Fruitless trees that produce nothing of value, wild waves of chaos and the foam of shame, and wandering stars that look like stars you ought to be able to guide your ship by, but you cannot. Scripture is clear. Trouble is coming for the church. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but in time, we are taught in Scripture, we are warned, and we are prepared for the fact that trouble will come for the church. So, what are you to do, Grace Central? How should you respond to all of these scary warnings in Scripture? I hope now you're convinced that I am not exaggerating the threat. Scripture is clear over and over and over again. We are to expect trouble like this. What do we do? The first thing we should do is to check our own hearts and repent where appropriate. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" The fact of the matter is that we, Christians, all of us, are sinners. We are forgiven. God is in the process of healing us. He's in the process of changing us. He's in the process of sanctifying us. And yet we are still all sinners. We all have dysfunctional hearts, dysfunctional minds, dysfunctional souls, distorted by sin. And on top of it, all the other normal ways that we are victimized and traumatized by just life in the world. And so all of us are capable of acting like wolves in the church sometimes. Now, a sheep that bites occasionally is not the same as a ravenous wolf. But it's an occasion for us to check our own hearts. So, Christian, ask yourself, where have you been in the past, divisive, gossiping, slandering, seeking only to feed and strengthen yourself without concern for the rest of your church family? When have you had an attitude of defying church leadership? Confess, repent, receive the forgiveness of Christ, and rejoice. And please know that these verses are not talking about you. One of the problems is that the ravenous wolf, with his smooth talk, with his flattery, will ingratiate himself in such a way and wait for the moment to stick the knife in. And he will gaslight you and make you think that you are the ravenous wolf, and he's just the innocent sheep, and if you oppose him, well, you're the one causing division and you're the one causing harm, right? And the better they are at their craft, and the more naive we are in trusting, the more likely we are to fall for it. Check your heart and repent where appropriate. Secondly, pray for discernment and spiritual maturity. Wolves in the church gain their power by deceiving the naive. We read in Romans chapter 16, verse 18, that wolves gain their power by speaking words of flattery to the naive. So make every attempt to be mature in your faith, to gain wisdom, and not to be naive. Listen to this, Ephesians chapter 4. This is what the Apostle Paul says to the church there. He gave the apostles and the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. He's naming all these different kinds of church leaders and ministers that God has given the church. He says he's given them to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by every human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. That giant long run-on sentence by the Apostle Paul explaining the benefit of giving various kinds of leaders and ministers to the church, right? All of it, he says, God has done all this so you grow up into spiritual maturity so that you will no longer be tossed to and fro by craftiness and deceitful schemes. God has prepared you to face trouble when it comes by giving you church leaders and teachers and ministers to walk alongside you in the faith and to help you mature so that you're not naive, so that you're not deceived, so that you spot the disguise as soon as it walks in the door. So check your heart, repent where necessary, receive forgiveness from Christ. We're not talking about you. Secondly, pray for discernment and spiritual maturity. You need it in order to identify the wolves when they come. Third, trust your church leadership. The Ephesians 4 text says God gives us shepherds and teachers to build us up so that we'll no longer be deceived. Your church leaders are given to you for the purpose of protecting you from ravenous wolves and divisive people. And this one is for everyone, but particularly for leaders in the church, guys. Listen, you must have the courage to do the faithful thing, even when it's the hard thing, even when you know others may not understand. That's the hard part, right? That's the hard part. What is the Bible's prescription for handling ravenous wolves, divisive people, false teachers in the church? What does the Bible say? Well, just be real patient and love them and don't be mean to them. And maybe if you're nice enough to them, they'll have a change of heart. But until then, you just got to put up with them because it would be mean to say anything about their behavior. Is that what the Bible says? Is that what we sometimes wish the Bible said? Look, Romans chapter 16, verse 17. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. Avoid them. Titus chapter 3, verse 10. As for a person who stirs up division after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him. You get three strikes. That's God's word. One warning, second warning, third, gone. That's the word of God, right? Please do not make the mistake of trying to be more merciful and kind than Jesus himself, right? In Galatians chapter 2, verse 5, the Apostle Paul says, to them we did not yield in submission even for a moment. When it came to confronting the false brothers, the false teachers, the divisive people, when it came to confronting the wolves at the door, the Apostle Paul said, we were immovable walls. We did not yield, not even for a moment. Acts chapter 20. Verse 29 says that the fierce wolves who will come in among us will not spare the flock. What that means is that those that Scripture is warning about are those who have no qualms devouring the church, dividing the church, destroying the faith of sheep, hurting people. To spare the wolf is to sacrifice the flock. Christians must have the courage to do the faithful thing even when it's the hard thing. Can God save anyone? Yes. And the Holy Spirit is in the business of miraculously changing the hearts of even the worst sinners. And the Apostle Paul himself was the worst of sinners, who himself persecuted Christians and hated Jesus and hated the church before God changed him. Yes, it is possible. But at the same time, the New Testament speaks of these kinds of dangers posed to the church in a way that does not seem to have much expectation of repentance for ravenous wolves. The Apostle Paul says, if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. It's condemned. Titus chapter 3, verse 11 says, know that such a person is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned. Jude chapter 8 speaks in all those colorful metaphors. Twice dead trees, waterless clouds, shepherds feeding themselves, unreasoning animals. And it says, for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. He's literally saying God has a place in hell for those people. And yet we still ask ourselves in the moment, yeah, but who am I to judge? Well, first of all, you're a Christian who is called to play a part in protecting the church from ravenous wolves and false teachers. But that notwithstanding, we can wonder in the moment, but who am I to judge this person who is so admired by others, so gifted, and who says such wonderful things, and who seems to have the trust of a lot of people in the church community. Speak the truth in love. Confront another in their sin in love. Matthew 18 stuff, right? Matthew chapter 7, take the speck out of your own eye, and we forget the rest of this parable, right? Take the speck out of your own eye, and then you will be able to see well enough to remove the speck from your brother's eye. You are charged with the task of helping your brothers and sisters see their error, see their sin. If the person responds by repenting, not necessarily perfectly or even immediately, but if the person responds when you speak the truth in love, confront them in their sin after you've already examined your own heart and repented, right? Help them with the speck in their eye. If they respond with repentance, they have proved themselves to merely be a wayward sheep, one like all the rest of us wayward sheep. But if the person digs in and says, how dare you judge me like this? You are being divisive. Don't you love me? I don't feel cared for at this church. Then you know what you're dealing with. By the way, over the years, I should say this, Grace Central has had about probably 3 ravenous wolves. None of them were ever members of the church. None of them were ever in leadership in any capacity of the church. But God helped us early on to spot and identify and to say, oh, you gotta go. You gotta go. And it wasn't always popular. And frequently the leadership of Grace Central looked like we were being harsh and mean. But I'm telling you, if you follow God's word, he will protect you. The third problem with having the courage to do this, congregation of Grace Central, is that you may not in every circumstance get to know all the details involved when your church leaders need to say to someone, strike 3, you gotta go, right? You've gotta trust your leaders. Elders, by their role, deacons as well, must know things that not everyone in the church gets to know. They provide spiritual care and they provide material care. Look, if you have, we'll just put it in material terms. If you have a material need, I can't make my car payment this month. I'm going to get evicted, right? I can't keep the electricity on. And you go and you ask the deacons, hey, I really hate to ask, can I get some help with my electric bill, right? Do you want them telling the whole rest of the congregation? Of course not. That would not be kind, merciful, or necessary, right? Would not be helpful. The same is true of our spiritual needs as well. So your elders know things other people don't know. And they may not be able to tell you everything that has transpired. And you may see the results of a longer process and not know there was a longer process. And it may just be that at some point, the elders of your church, the shepherds God has given you, have had to do the faithful and hard thing. And to protect the flock from some ravenous wolf, a wolf in sheep's clothing, a false brother who speaks smooth and flattering words, who ingratiates himself to many, who comes disguised as an angel of light. And you may be wondering, hey, why were you mean to that angel of light? Hey, you guys were kind of harsh with that sheep. Wasn't a sheep. So you've got to trust your leaders. That's why it's necessary for you guys to know each other. And don't nominate somebody for elder or deacon that you don't know. Know each other. And to know each other, you have to be involved in each other's lives. You need to watch each other, observe each other, see how people in the church are already loving each other and already loving the church and already sacrificing for the church community, right? And then you know, that's probably one I can trust, right? Fifth, pray for your church and its leaders. Satan hates you. Satan hates Grace Central. He's a prowling lion seeking whom he may devour, Scripture tells us. He wants to devour you, and he wants to destroy this church. And he has a pattern of frequently attacking in times of difficulty and transition. Be alert. Not paranoid, but alert. And pray. Pray knowing that your God has pledged himself to your protection, and that one of the ways he protects you is by giving you these warnings in Scripture, and by giving you through his Holy Spirit courage to do the hard but necessary thing at times, even when others don't understand. And I want you to listen, Psalm 59. This is how the psalmist prays. Deliver me from my enemies, O God. Protect me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from those who work evil, and save me from bloodthirsty men. For behold, they lie in wait for my life. Fierce men stir up strife against me. For no transgression or sin of mine, O Lord, for no fault of mine, they run and make ready. Awake, come to meet me and see. You, O Lord of hosts, our God of Israel, rouse yourself to punish all the nations. Spare none of those who treacherously plot evil. Each evening they come back, howling like dogs, prowling about the city. There they are, bellowing with their mouths, with swords in their lips, for who they think will hear us. But you, O Lord, laugh at them. You hold them in derision. O my strength, I will watch for you, for you, O God, are my fortress. My God in his steadfast love will meet me. My God will let me look in triumph on my enemies. That's the prayer of faith, and that's the prayer of confidence, and that's the prayer to a God who knows your need, who loves you, and has good things planned for you. But he also knows there's an enemy who is very real, and he will protect you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all the things your word tells us. God, my prayer is that we would not be paranoid, that we would not be overly fearful, but that we would have a healthy respect for the threat posed by the evil one in this world. God, I pray for your protection of this congregation. God, my prayer is that time will show that this sermon will have been largely unnecessary. God, may you keep wolves away from the door. May you drive out division. Father, will you always protect the gospel as it is preached and taught and believed in this church community. God, I pray that in 20 more years and 100 more years, Grace Central will still be a light in this city, proclaiming the good news of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.